We are doing workarounds right now. And watch this. Watch how slowly this transition is. You see how I faded that out slowly?
Nice segue there. Did you see?
My friends are back. Everybody abandoned me for 2 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
Gloucester Cast 274. We have the regular cast with us today. We have Pat and Jimmy Dalpiaz here.
Good morning, Gloucester.
We're back, Gloucester. Yeah.
And we have Kim Smith back.
Good morning, Gloucester.
After a big, big week, award-winning week.
Yes.
Big award-winning week. A little bit of business to get out of the way. Free tickets to Cape Ann Community Cinema. If you share this on Facebook, you have a chance to win 2 free tickets to one of their shows. In the top of goodmorninggloucester.com, there is a link to it and its schedule and a link to check out their website. You can check and where they have all their trailers. Got that? So Kim, today's Patriots Day, Marathon Monday.
That's right.
Yesterday they canceled the Red Sox game for today, which is very unlikely for them. Unusual for them.
Yeah.
Usually they wait till the last minute. They let everyone go down to Fenway and spend money all around Fenway, buying hats and everything.
And then they cancel
the game.
Really?
Yeah, that's more of the modus operandi. But they maybe because of they knew it was going to be a shit show with the marathon to begin with.
Well, if the weather is terrible, I mean, I think it was a record breaker yesterday, wasn't it, in cold?
It was. Record cold.
And I think I saw a headline on the Weather Channel this morning that 16 baseball games have been postponed due to this weather today.
Just today alone, 16 already?
Well, I don't know if they meant last night or for today. I assumed it meant for today.
Wow.
16.
Well, that says a lot.
Yeah.
Right, and the marathon runners are, people are being asked to keep an eye on them
hypothermia.
Hypothermia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Especially the way they line them up, because I had a couple of friends running that, and they corral them because you're in a pool, so you go out at a certain time, but you have to get to the area because of bus traveling. You have to shut the roads down, so everybody has to get there. So you're kind of
standing around a long time.
Yeah. And then they say, "Okay, your group is up."
Much like the polar plunge, the move is to wear clothes until you don't have to wear clothes.
Right.
You know, to bundle up.
Right. And the polar plunge, and when you come running back out, you can put it on.
Yeah, well,
to Boston Marathon, you have clothes. Somebody better grab that.
Yeah, but if it was me, I would wear clothes that I didn't care about.
Right.
Just toss them.
Yeah.
You know?
Good point.
That's the move.
That's a good idea.
That's the move for the polar plunge.
I think they do have a thing where they leave and then they bring the stuff to the end of the race.
At the end of the race, they have those thin, like some type of foil blankets that they wrap themselves in right at the end because they're going to be vulnerable. They're
going to need it today.
Oh my god!
Yeah, but you know, as a spectator, you can still go in because there's plenty of bars and hang out and watch and still have that energy.
That was my move.
Yeah, good times.
Those
are some of the best.
Around my drink.
Some of the best times of my. You know, young single days were Marathon Mondays.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah, nothing to do with physical activity, everything to do with...
You know, when you live... Because we lived
mischief.
In Boston for so many years, and when you live in Boston, you just, like, do everything to avoid it.
So you did your own...
Well, because you're not...
You just try to stay out of it.
Oh, it was so
fun,
though. Oh,
so
my
you
God.
Did your own marathon.
Yeah.
Different kind of marathon. Different kind of endurance event.
I got the Popeye look. I love it.
You got the Popeye look. The big news of the week, as far as we're concerned, was Kim's winning the Friend of the Earth Award and giving the keynote speech at Salem State's Earth Day Week. And so we'd like a little recap of how it was, how was the crowd.
The crowd was wonderful. They were there because it wasn't just my speech. They had... set up around the room student-created exhibits about different environmental events and things like that, different environmental issues. And so after my speech, they had the awards presentations for the kids, And then they also, somebody created a beautiful poster for the event. So there were a lot of students there eager to see what the results were. But there were a lot of, there were some local people. Do you know Tim McManus? I'd never met him before.
I know the name.
Yeah, he likes my photos. I mean, there are a lot of wonderful people there. The, one of the reasons why I was, how the Earth Days Committee knew about me is because two of the professors, Jennifer Jackman and this one, Pat Dillon, one lives in Manchester, I think, and one lives in Gloucester. They see my posts all the time on Good Morning Gloucester.
Yeah.
So that's how they...
Well, they, well yeah.
That's how they, you know.
It's a nice outlet, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a nice platform.
Isn't that real? I'm very appreciative of the platform to, you know, to help get out great information. I mean, that's really, and your goal is always to keep it very, very positive, and that's what we try to do. So
yeah.
So it was a wonderful crowd. I was very touched to get it. I don't really know what to say. It was just a really.
Isn't it funny when someone makes that phone call to you and you're just like, you're just like, what, me? Really?
Right.
Oh my God, you know.
Yes,
and then you look
yes.
back and you're like, oh, you know.
Yeah. No, I was really, I was stunned when they, I mean, that's, I don't know what else to say. I called Olivia and she was like, oh, Mom, that's the perfect thing for you.
It's true. You're out there every day. I was talking to Mark Ring about it this morning in the office.
Yeah.
And I was saying, like, you know, Kim is out there every single morning, you know, and she's got several stops. She's going from Niles Pond over to, you know, Pebble Beach or whatever it is and checking in on all these things and doing all this reporting. But the public, you know, every one of her posts is like, you know, there's so much information she's sharing.
Yes, yes.
There's really no one, you know, this guy that gives the talks all the time and he always has to be addressed as doctor. He, screw him. You know, no, he doesn't put out nearly the volume of information for the public to understand what's truly going
on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want people to see is what's, I mean, I try so hard to be fair too. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like really honest and safe, you know, what is happening, not
yeah.
like insert my opinion necessarily all the time, but just say exactly what is happening. Because you know, I'll tell you something. I read something very disturbing, a Boston Globe article this morning about how, you know, a lot of environmentalists are patting themselves on the back because Massachusetts now has 630 pairs of nesting plovers. And there's still less than 2,000. The goal is to get it to 2,000, and it's dropped again. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So, and they're patting themselves on the back, saying, "Oh, it's a success story, Massachusetts." But there's fewer and fewer chicks born.
Wow.
So, how is that a success story? So, why should we, you know, relax some of the rules? If sure, we have them nesting, but we're not bringing them to chick. You know,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
we're not bringing them to fledgling. So that's why the numbers are dropping. So we have more than ever nesting in Massachusetts, but they're not, it's not successful. So
mm-hmm.
how is that a success story? You know what I mean? Like, so the worst thing to do, I think, would be to relax some of the restrictions. Like some of the beaches on Cape Cod, they're gonna start allowing cars and trucks back on the beach in a very restricted way, but
mm-hmm.
you just know that there's gonna be a lot of little squished little
squished.
I mean, this is so
squished. That's a good word
yeah.
to use.
Yeah. Oh, I want to tell you something fun, interesting. As long as we're talking about
squished
well,
plovers.
We're not talking about plovers yet. Sorry. I'm sorry. We're not on that subject yet. But I just wanted to say this one thing that occurred to me the other day that it's a good thing snowy owls leave when they do.
Because they would chow.
Because I think they would eat the plovers because they're all on the beach. Because listen, like. Great horned owls, which are closely related to snowy owls, which we have here in this, you know, in the all year round, they have learned to hover over the enclosures like at Crane's Beach, and they perch on those. They don't care about the chicks. They wait for the parents to go in and out of the enclosures. So imagine if there were snowies here.
Could you imagine the personal
strife,
internal strife for Kim Smith, the conflict between, like, who do I save?
Yeah.
Do I save the hot snowies? Or do I save the plovers?
Yes.
The great
question.
Oh, plovers.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, could you imagine the scene? the owl coming down out of the sky, snatching up one of the plovers.
Kim would be clicking away, however. She would get it. She's so good.
Sometimes I freeze. Like, if I see something really shocking, I just freeze. I'm looking.
If I'm a betting man, I say she has a shotgun and she can only save one. I say she blows the snowy owl out of the sky.
I'm going to go with you on that. I'm going to say yeah.
It's probably going to be Sal.
Yeah, Sal. Because she didn't name it. Because she didn't name it. Pat named it.
That's right.
So Sal's going to be the sacrificial snowy.
I heard he's still over there.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Just in the last couple of days, I saw that.
Yeah,
I haven't been over there yet.
The locals call him Diablo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow. Sal Diablo. We can call him Sal Diablo.
That is interesting about that.
We're gonna get a little bit off of the bird stuff right now. Jimmy, this
a
is probably
bit off
so
of
Jimmy.
Life.
Jimmy, you were gone to take care. Of, you were the personal valet for Timmy Tebow.
I was not the personal valet. I felt like it. I was down with Timmy Tebow. He has made it to Double-A baseball.
There was big. There was he hit like
his first
at bat.
Pitch.
Yeah, it was what
as
heard.
A Double-A.
Yeah,
he hit a home run. It was a kind of a bomb. Thank God there was a windy day because it just helped it. And it went out. And the stadium, because we were sold out, it was everybody was out there in 40 degree weather.
It was a miserable
day. It was a crappy day.
Yeah.
Were you
everybody
there
came
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
He hit that bomb.
I was in the team.
And that was just, that was everything that the owners could have possibly
exactly.
wanted.
Exactly. And you should have heard, I mean, I was in the ticket office, so it's kind of closed off. But I could hear all the scrambling and the screaming because people went just running.
Yes.
For the ball, and then he did his jog around the bases, and everybody left. A whole bunch of people left.
But
yeah.
Really?
What happened was it was so cold. We gave
and
out.
It was. They just wanted
so
to see.
Did you bobbleheads?
Not yet.
I ask Tim? Timmy Tebow is a former football player.
That's
mm-hmm.
correct.
Okay, and now he plays for.
He wants to get into baseball.
Oh, okay.
He has signed a contract, a 2-year contract.
Heisman Trophy winner.
Right.
And he's up
right.
with the New York
so
Mets.
It was a really interesting move that he made. He wanted to go from football to. He wanted to
right.
go. Yeah.
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 So
he
but
go,
he also
he,
was.
He
so he's
down,
a Jesus guy.
Right.
He's a Jesus guy.
Big
guy. And a devout. The guy is a handsome. Handsome man.
Wow.
On the biggest stage, like what? Did he win a national championship?
Florida?
I think
he
did.
I don't know.
Won monstrous bowl games. Like this guy in Florida, big Southern school, very attractive women, devout, like saving himself a marriage guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of people who are coming out to try and see him, and a lot of Christians and everybody coming out.
Right.
They have to touch him.
They
hold their
yeah.
hands to do prayers before they go. And this is why we had a lockdown when we first got down there, and that was my job.
A lockdown?
Well, we had a lockdown the lot, the parking area, and the stadium.
Tighten up security
because
significantly.
Everybody was trying to get in to see Timmy, to touch
okay.
Timmy, to pray with Timmy,
okay.
everything. And
does he do like a group prayer before he goes out?
Well, no.
I'm going to show you a video of this guy. Like the speech he gave, like there's videos of the speeches he gave to his team. He like, they were underdogs and he gave this like speech. It wasn't about God. It was about winning. He doesn't like, he doesn't shove
exactly.
that in your face
yeah.
all
no,
the time.
He's not. He's not
but
like,
that.
He's
like
not an
very,
evangelical.
Very
right.
charismatic guy.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
charismatic guy. Like, and like to think that there is a young college age guy
right.
that could in Florida on the biggest stage performing could have any woman that he wants and to be a devout thing
mm-hmm.
that is
right.
a dedication to a
yeah.
and,
yeah.
and he's pretty devoted to children's causes different
yeah. he's a really good human
yeah
guy.
Yeah so
oh.
he's been doing a lot in our
he's
area
really
with the kids which has been nice to
yeah
see
he walks the walk
well.
And talk
yeah.
he
the
talks
talk.
The talk
yeah.
Yeah.
But Joey he is so tall you
but
were correct that I he stood near me one time. He came over to stand near me, and I had to ask him to bend down because if he flexes, he would have poked my eye out. I mean, he is so tall, and me standing next to him. Some of the players, his own teammates.
They look small compared to him.
I mean, not only, you know, is he jacked up there, but he's tall. They're kids. They're coming out, and they're standing right next to him, and it's like, you know, Grandpa could climb on his arms, and he could drag him out for a little thing. But anyway, it is Tebow all the time.
And he's been very gracious. He hasn't been a jerk like
Jimmy, something. That shirt you got me from the pros wear?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I looked at the tag. Yeah. I just ordered two more last night because I love them so much.
Good.
So I could wear them for work.
Good.
You should have told me. I would have got you two more.
Why?
There goes the...
Oh, I just got the honeycomb stare now. I am getting more...
I am very appreciative of that shirt that you got me. I went to the actual manufacturer and ordered two more. They're great. They're double. You know the ones that I always wear? That synthetic material that's really like wicks the moisture away from your body and allows you to move, you know?
Safer here, but not don't wear it in the kitchen. So.
Right.
What?
With heat.
They're highly flammable.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Well, you know, oh boy. Don't tell Tebow wears it. I better tell him that. Or his fans. Anyway, what happened was we were getting all the uniforms ready. I was helping the clubhouse guy get everything ready. And they put out the uniforms and all the accessories for the players. We put them out for opening day.
Right.
So when I was down there, I was helping out. And there was extra, and the clubby appreciated that I was helping them. So he said, "Do you want this?" And I said to Pat, "You think Joey would love it?" And I grabbed it.
Oh,
I gave him one or two. I can't remember. I just threw him at it. I said, "Here
you go." You got me one.
And I gave him a ball from over there. You know. So anyway, Tebow all the time. And
so tell everybody what's the team that you?
It's the Binghamton Rumble Ponies.
Okay.
And they are the minor league team from the New York Mets. Tim Tebow is with us. We're not really sure how long.
Oh, okay.
So
will he then eventually go become a
player?
That's the plan for him.
He's probably not going to make it.
Right.
He's not going to make it.
It's more it's a more marketing ploy than anything.
Right.
Okay.
But he did hit a home run in double A pitching to major league pitching.
Yes.
Is kind of like night and day.
But it was a story. It was like, you know, a perfect story.
Yeah, and the announcer was screaming. I was out in the money room. I was counting out all the money that night, and all of a sudden I heard it. And the announcer was, "Can you believe this?"
It was one of those kind of like, you know,
right.
Like Babe Ruth calling the shot. You know?
Right, right.
So there's that. Very quickly, because I know a lot of our, this is more of a homie cast topic, but the Bruins, the Patriots, and the Red Sox. Red Sox have gotten out to the best start in franchise history, and they have over 100 years in the franchise.
Wow.
They're like 13-14-2. Unheard of, right?
Wow.
And everybody thought that the Yankees were going to be the team. There's a lot of baseball to be played still. The Celtics, even with a decimated, like ungodly amount of injuries, won their first playoff game
in overtime.
Unbelievably exciting game. And the Bruins look like they're a Stanley Cup team. Like, talk about unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I was like.
Oh, I hope the Patriots have a good year this year then too.
Yeah, the Patriots are. I think they will, but the luster of the system is starting to come off.
I love them.
You know how like you know everybody likes to when you're winning, people like to take shots at you.
Yeah.
It's starting to finally win. The formula for the Patriots to win is they've been a great team for so long. So a lot of players from other teams or a lot of players will take a little bit less money to come play for the Patriots because they have a salary. They can only spend so much money. Right? So, well, in football, do they have a salary?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, right. So they can only spend so much money. So they can get, so a team that has a historically losing thing, no one really wants to go there. Unless they're going to pay them extra money,
right?
So that puts them at a disadvantage.
Right.
So whenever we have really, really good players, and there are a team like say Cleveland, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're a laughingstock in the league, but their fan base has to feel like the general manager who's in charge of spending the money and getting the players is actively trying to improve the team.
Okay.
Otherwise, they have no hope, and there's no reason for them to buy tickets. It's a business,
right?
And so, the Patriots have now the Patriots are on television every week nationally because they're a story. The Cleveland Browns probably have no one really watches their team, but they may have a player on their team that is. So say Gronk plays at a level of a 10,
right?
And they have a player that plays at the level of an 8,
right?
And say you have to pay Gronk $20 million a year to keep him. This guy that plays at a level of an 8, they might pay $2 million a year.
Okay.
So the Patriots could potentially, this is kind of what they do. They trade away a Gronk at a 20 don't have to pay $20 million. They take in the guy that's playing at an 8,
right,
for $2 million because he's desperate to play for a good team. And he's played in a market where he's had no exposure at all, even though he's has really good numbers and everything.
Right.
Like, he doesn't get paid because no one really knows about him.
So then what will...
So they have all this extra money to go out and, like, pay Tom Brady and stuff like that.
So what does that mean? Like, so they're going to get rid of Gronk and stuff like that?
Not necessarily. I'm using it to illustrate a point where... We have marquee players that the Patriots, like, some every once, like, two or three times a year, they trade away a guy that you think is completely irreplaceable.
Right.
That's like a 10.
Do you think they're going to do that this year?
They do it every year. It's just not necessarily Gronk. They traded away some marquee defensive players.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And, like, they get number one draft picks for them.
Okay.
And they get in other considerations. So they get rid of a big... chunk of what they have to pay out,
right.
but they get in a player that plays almost to that level,
right,
for like one tenth of what they were paying the other guy.
So the Patriots have done that already.
They've done that quite a bit.
Oh yeah, and they're probably going to do it again this year.
Amendola, Danny Amendola, right?
Right.
He's a very good receiver. He's a great receiver.
He saved him a few times.
He's a great receiver.
Trade him away.
So he's played for a while.
Right.
He has Super Bowl rings.
Right. He gets a lot of money.
Okay. And he plays at a high level. He plays at say, a level of an 8.5.
Okay.
Right? He took a pay cut to play for the Patriots, but he only has one or two more contract cycles to play for.
Right.
Right? So now he already has his rings, and the Patriots made him an offer, which was a lot less than he could go to play
for a team
not as competitive as as the Patriots.
Right.
He has a family to think of.
Right.
And he knows he's a young guy.
Right,
he has to get this money into his savings account.
Right.
So they lost Danny Amendola.
Okay.
And they'll bring in someone that plays for like a Cleveland or some other team that can be as good as him or just under what he is.
Right.
And pay him, so Danny Amendola, I don't even know what the number is, but say he was getting paid $8 million a year.
Right.
I don't know what it was, right?
Yeah.
And they'll bring in a guy for $4 or $5 million a year that can play at his level.
So you think it's going to hurt the team overall this year? It's going to be...
Well, it's just a lot of players are like, okay, we've done this for a while, we've taken less money, we've gotten our Super Bowl rings, the luster is off of this system of our players always getting less money, and they're not as desperate for a Super Bowl as they, you know, there are 20 teams or I don't know how many teams that have never even tasted a Super Bowl within the past 10 or 15 or 12 years or something, we have five Super Bowls.
Right.
Tom Brady has 5 Super Bowl rings.
So that means there's, out of those 10 years, there's 5,
other
only
teams
only 5 other teams that
potential.
Got a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And there's some that their whole franchise,
they
40 years,
they've never
even had a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So,
they're hotter and more desperate, they're more enthusiastic.
Yeah,
and
our
energized.
Sports media, like, is so spoiled that they're so desperate for negative news, because that's what sells,
right.
That's what they harp on. So the luster is off.
Yeah.
So these guys, so say it was Gronk. Denny Amendola, right? He's going to Miami. Miami hasn't sniffed a AFC championship game, never mind a Super Bowl, in years. He's going to be in the sun. His wife is a supermodel. It's a lot, you know.
Lot,
I'm sure
yeah,
that she's
a lot nicer.
There's
than
a lot more work.
England,
there's a lot
yeah.
more work for her down there
yeah.
in South Beach than there is, you know, up here
in
the Charles River.
Right?
Hey, I just want to close on the Tebow thing to tell you one of the things that I have to do is we're not locking down as much like we talked about with the park and everything. I think I'm not saying the luster's off, but what we are have to do is we have to supply security on the field and everywhere else. And I'm telling you what's really strange, he plays left field for the team. They have to put security guards down the left field line when he's out there.
That's
because
so
they're thinking someone's going to, I'm calling it a Tebow kiss, someone's going to jump over the fence or go over there and go and give him a big Tebow kiss. When he runs to the dugout, they have security right next to the dugout.
Jesus.
The That's only amazing. Thing they don't have, and I'm sure someone's thinking right now, well, what if he gets on base? Well, first of all, he hasn't done that yet. But anyway.
he has not got on base once?
Oh, yeah. He has. I think he's 4 for 23.
So he's he has 4 hits for 23 at-bats.
Okay.
And one of them was that home run.
In double A.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's not
great.
In the majors, that would be zero for 24.
But there is security, and we all call it the Tebow guards. And I am on the list for that. But they know I'm in the middle of doing a lot of different things. But they put me on the list to be one of those. And I will, I ever become a Tebow guard, you better believe I'm either going to film it. But it's a big thing you have to sign. And
why don't you get? Why? How come you have not had him hold up the Good Morning Gloucester sticker?
There we go. Yeah.
What the fuck is
Keep
going on?
Keep one right
here?
In your pocket. Why are visions of the flying monkeys from the Wizard of Oz coming to mind?
Do I have? Am I the only marketing person here? Am I the only one trying to push the brand? Am I the only one brick by brick building this goddamn thing?
Building and building.
You know, you want to go with the Jimmy GMG thing.
Yes. Yeah.
But time and time, slipped opportunities all the time.
My head is down.
No,
I tease.
I'm going to use this. Tell Paula. I just got some speedy sauce. Paula Ryan O'Brien gave me the speedy sauce. I'm gonna marinate some steak tips tonight.
Okay,
very good. I want to say something. So this time of year I have 2 weeks off. That's why we haven't had a podcast for 2 weeks. And when we taped down at the dock here at Captain Joe's, the lobster company, and you know my business is. So I have to shovel herring and deal with mucky stuff, right? So I have gloves. I have these neoprene gloves. Not neoprene. It's more of a poly.
The one sitting on the register
rubber,
right now?
Yeah.
They're rubber gloves.
Heavy rubber gloves.
You don't get the stink in your hands, right?
Yeah.
Now, when you're working with these rubber gloves, I am very conscious to keep the inside of my rubber gloves dry.
Yeah.
Right? And because if you get them wet inside there, you may as well not even have gloves on. And I throw my, I use them in season, they last me about 2 weeks, and then I toss them because bacteria grows in them when you're working and you sweat inside them.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm very, very anal about no one else like putting my gloves on because they may not be as careful about making sure your hands are clean when you put them in, or your hands are sweaty,
or
they picked up bait beforehand, and then they put that bacteria up inside there. So I'm like totally anal. So this is what's happening as I get older. When I know I'm leaving my last day, I hide my gloves. I hide my rubber gloves. And inevitably, I come back. I have no fucking idea where the rubber gloves are. None. And I'm like, and so I could get back to work, and then, like, there'll be guys waiting to put bait on. I have to run the winch. I have to grab lobsters out of the tank, whatever it is. And I'm running around like opening up every drawer and everything else, looking for where I hid the goddamn rubber gloves. It's getting old, sucks.
I had a very similar experience where my favorite earrings that Tom gave me when we were first married, I wear them all the time, and I took them off and I put them in a safe place, and Tom and I have searched the house high and low, and we cannot find the favorite earrings. And it's just like, I know I put them in a safe place, but
yeah.
I think we should have a search and rescue party.
When you start looking for something else, you'll probably uncover
it. I think we should have a search and rescue party.
That's usually what happens to me.
We'll start here at the docks, then we'll go over
here. When I start to go look for something else is when I find... Yeah, it is aggravating.
So where did you find... Oh, I can't ask you that, because then you'll have to reveal one of your secret hiding places.
Yeah, yeah, it's better. It's the best
stuff. Did you find them eventually? Or did you just have to go out and buy new ones?
No, I ended up after, but at, not until after I did what I had to do without the gloves.
Ooh.
Which was nasty. So, it's all good. It's just it's just interesting how, those aren't even my gloves.
Those aren't my gloves. I assumed that they were because they were right next to you. And
yeah, no, when I'm away, other people sit, which I don't like either, they sit at my desk.
Set up all the
is that
all
like
stuff
the
here.
Ones you use all the time? Because I have to tell
don't
you
don't touch them. Don't touch them. You don't want to touch them.
Okay. Well, I have to tell you about
yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you'll get stink on your hands. That's the whole idea. The stink is on the outside. You're going to touch them.
Well, there's these great rubber gloves at Stop and Shop that are, I don't know if you want to wear white, but they they're so nice inside and they last forever and ever.
How high
do they
go?
They're not, I don't think. They're like that. They're not like.
Do they have the rubber on the bottom and not on the top?
Probably. Rubber all over. They're rubber all over.
They are rubber all over.
Yeah, they're rubber all over.
Really interesting.
Yeah, they're really, really nice.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, why are you laughing, Pat?
Because here we are talking
long
about
time.
Rubber gloves.
Yeah. I have to use them.
I'm glad we came back.
I have to wear rubber gloves whenever I touch
you
any chemical.
Do your proctology things.
Whenever I touch any chemical or anything, or I get a total
rash.
Rashes.
You have very sensitive skin.
Yeah, I get
you do have very
sensitive
rashes, skin.
So
your cheeks get red.
Yeah, they're getting red now because
flush.
It's
you can turn it down. You can turn it down. Okay, all right. Yesterday, I want to say shout out to my mom. Happy birthday to my mom.
Happy birthday.
And we're in this thing right now. I know that I only have like one or two more. I have like, I think maybe one more Sunday until season get when I start working every day.
Oh, okay.
That I'll be able to go to Feather and Wedge for their Sunday brunch. So of course, it was a perfect opportunity to bring my mom to Feather and Wedge for the Sunday brunch, the jazz brunch, and it was awesome as always.
We saw the jazz music. We were driving around Rockport yesterday. We saw those poor jazz musicians dragging their instruments across town. I don't know where they parked, but they were dragging their instruments across town. And by the time we got up to the Feather and Wedge, they were coming in to get set up.
Oh, so you must have. Who were right
we,
there?
We talked about it. We
oh, that's
talked
funny.
About stopping.
I wanted to walk in, but someone didn't want to.
Jesus, Pat. You could have had brunch with us.
I know. I wasn't feeling very hungry, and I thought, this isn't the time to do it. You got to go.
I'm worried about the food.
I'll tell
you.
When you're
I was
hungry.
Looking at the Bloody Mary.
They have the Bloody Mary bar. I think we talked about this before. Dollar oysters, and they're always super chilled, perfectly. There's no shells
the
inside there.
The dollar oysters on brunch?
At brunch.
Really? Wow.
And the brunch items are like not expensive. It's okay, there are some fancy breakfast places in town. I'm not going to mention the names. It was less expensive to go there than some of the ones that are known as fancy breakfast places in town.
Mm-hmm.
And the option for dollar oysters.
Is India
besides.
Still waitressing there?
India, Lila. It's basically Eric's daughter.
Oh.
It's basically the former passport staff
really?
Is there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, and the
Tom and I'll go there before you get back to work.
And the chef was Doug Pappas's sous chef, I believe, from Foreign Affairs,
from
which we love Foreign Affairs.
Yeah. Great, wow.
Which I always wonder if it was the food is just like Doug's food, it's like so I don't know was it and I think that they're
the
I think that these guys Doug and this guy
yeah
and I forget his name I should learn his name
yeah
I think that they're on par. I think that they're both very, very talented chefs with their presentation and their sauces and everything else.
Really
so,
good.
Like Foreign Affairs was a definitely a,
I remember
a group
that name.
Thing.
I remember that.
It was fantastic, and it's the same.
Yeah.
They're putting out the same type of food there. You went to Doug's new place
yes.
in Ipswich. Did we talk about it before? The
no,
the
we
Brown
haven't.
Dog.
We I don't think we talked because neither one of us had been there. Yeah.
So Doug is at the Brown Dog.
He's at the Brown Dog, and
you said you had the best fried oysters you've ever had.
I would say in my entire life.
Wow.
And, yes, they were like a I've never had oysters that were so fried oysters that were so succulent. It was almost like having a raw oyster, a warm raw oyster with the crispy
with
golden
the crispy.
On
oh,
the outside.
Nice.
It was tremendous.
How was the decor and what was the style of the menu?
It's very I would say it's like really home style pub American cuisine. Very delicious, hearty.
Could you compare? What would you compare it to around here? Anything?
I can't think of anything around here really because it's unique because we don't really have any like more like upscale pubs. It's not like, but it's not upscale. So upscale that it's
pretentious.
It's very like when we were there, for example, our hostess was the waitress's mom, who also, when it gets busy, the hostess comes running over. She's also the local librarian. You know what I mean? And then, so I don't know if I had only ever been in the Black Tavern. Did you used to go there very often, Joe, when
the
it was
Black
the Black Tavern?
Where?
A long time ago, at the corner where Tano is. Cause so
the Blackburn's Tavern.
The Blackburn Tavern,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah,
Blackburn
yeah,
Tavern.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Bob Ballas, who owned that
yeah.
owns the Brown Dog, and he's from
oh, okay.
Gloucester. So this is a funny story. Like, so he and his wife Joanne were super, like you call them FOBs or the blog. These were super super friends of Tom's band, The Atlantics.
Oh wow!
And so all summer long they would, and I didn't know Tom when he had The Atlantics, but all summer long they would invite the band up to they you know those castles at the end of Wingersheek Beach at
mm-hmm.
the end. At the end of Coffins Beach, they owned one of those castles. I don't know which one. And so they invite the whole band up, and they come to all the shows in Boston, and they were super, super nice. Really, really sweet couple. So then, you know, when the band disbanded, we didn't know them that much. And then he had the Blackburn Tavern, and then he got out of the restaurant. He's a lawyer, actually, and then he got out of the restaurant business for a while, and then now he's reopened it with, and he has Doug Pappas with him. So it's really just a really...
That's a win-win.
It's
Sounds
a win-win.
Like.
And so I did invite them both to come on the podcast.
Oh, you invited Doug?
I invited Doug and Bob Ballas to come on the podcast, if you'd like.
It's much better. I would love to have them.
Yeah.
And he has done it. Doug's come in for a podcast
yeah, Doug's
before.
Come in before.
Yeah.
And Bob Ballas. So
I would much rather go there and
yeah, there
eat some of their food.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Well,
you got to get more. Listen,
yeah.
for a restaurant, just like you did the review with the beautiful pictures, they'll get more out of it if we go there and eat their
yeah,
food
and their
take
food,
pictures.
Yeah. But it would be fun to have them on the podcast. They were. Bob was excited to be on the podcast.
It would be fun, but you know what would be more fun? To go there
go
and eat
there.
Their food.
To be there.
I'm going to say it again, just in case you're not getting where I'm coming from.
But I'm saying, can't we do both, is what I'm saying.
Yes, but I think first, just to make sure that my palate will be pleased. you know, but no, they're always, Doug knows.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
always, I'm a big fan of Doug Pappas, that he is always welcome on.
Are you going to add this to the show notes?
That's what What do you think I'm doing?
Yeah, that's
do you think
good.
I'm just distracted? Or do you think I'm adding
yes.
it to the show notes?
Yes.
No, I'm adding it to the show notes. There's a link to your wonderful review.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Because I know you pleased when I add links to your posts.
Yeah, well,
I want to make you happy. It's all about making Kim happy.
I'm going to kick you in the shins right now.
Wow.
Whack.
Well,
whack,
I could take
whack.
One in the shins, but just don't go any further north than the shins. So, yes. All right, Doug or what's the other guy's name?
Bob Ballas.
Doug or Bob, if you're listening to this, I would love an invite to come review your food. It'd be awesome. Thank you very much. All right. Okay, I want to give a shout out to CapeAndWellness.com. There's right now bikini ski for you guys. I know you guys get into your bikinis pretty soon.
Oh yeah.
And Jimmy too, your thong. For all of us that are getting ready for thong and bikini season.
Yes, we are.
go to Cape Ann Wellness, and you could. There's so many local resources for getting into our bikini and thongs.
It's super important with bikini dodgeball season.
Exactly.
As well.
Yes, that's right. Next, is it next week?
Tournament. Is it next
the 28th?
Weekend?
No, I think it's the 28th.
No, it's 2 weeks.
Two weeks, yeah, because I have the girls.
That would be insane. It's been so cold.
Oh, my God.
Well, that makes it part of the fun. That definitely makes
getting
it part
mud
of the fun.
You know, getting the splash with mud and...
yeah, it's so nasty right now.
It's so nasty. And the field, because there's got a lot of rain coming in the next 2 weeks, so the field is going to be really wet and mucky.
So we have restaurant news. Everything, it seems like everything is running through Doug Pappas right now. Because the Pigeon Cove Tavern, former place where Doug used to be a chef,
right.
They are hiring right now. The Lobster Pool is opening, I think, next week, I think.
Oh, so wow. That's
and they are looking for help.
Okay.
Pier 23 Kitchen is looking to add cooks, dishwashers, servers, and food runners as well. So,
have you
people,
heard any word about the studio opening?
No, we just went down there yesterday to hopefully get a sign on the door, and there was nothing.
Yeah,
Sailor Stands is opening up though.
Yeah, okay.
I posted that they're opening up the 21st.
Okay.
So that's coming up.
I think it was the 21st.
The Topside Grill has $1 oysters on. I think it's Tuesday night. I have a link though, so you can click on that and check out when they're getting to there. Their dollar, they're every Tuesday night, I believe, is dollar oyster night.
Oh,
whenever you get, someone wrote into me the other night that they have there's a goal to just discover every dollar oyster night and go to every one of them.
That's a worthy
and that would be a great blog post, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it would. Who wants to? What, Jimmy? What do you guys are you guys oyster people? You have to be an oyster person.
He does.
All right, I know that there's Short and Pretentious, there is
mm-hmm.
Topside Grill.
Mm-hmm.
Feather and Wedge Sunday brunch, you can get dollar oysters.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
A whole post about it would be awesome.
A whole post, yeah, discovery.
Yeah.
I love that
cool.
idea.
Yeah.
You guys, if you guys want to do it, you can. I'm a little overwhelmed.
I would like, you know what, Jimmy, you guys, if you didn't, I think that we should try to figure it out, and I'll go with you guys, and we'll go on a tour, a one day tour. We'll have a beer, and we'll order a dozen oysters at each place.
Each different
and we'll
day.
Just. No, in
oh.
one day.
Oh.
Yeah, four
like
oysters at a place. Four oysters each and a beer. And then
but
four oysters.
On different days?
Yeah, the dollar oysters
so,
are going to be on different days of the week.
That's
right.
That's what
I'm saying. Like,
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Post, that's a good point.
We could set a week aside.
Right. A week aside.
Dollar oyster week.
Yeah.
I love the way you guys are thinking. I love all
yeah,
this. We're going to.
If McDonald's has a 1, 2, 3, we can do a dollar oyster 1, 2, 3 on that.
This is such
beers.
A great idea.
Yeah.
I love this idea. All right, we're gonna get to work on this. Pat
yeah.
and Jimmy,
yeah. on
you're our
it.
Resident
on
research
it.
Person anyway,
on
so you need to figure this
yeah.
out,
okay.
and then we'll put it, and
we
then we'll
list of where
we'll do a
co-
we'll do a combined. It'll be a joint effort to
sounds
get the
good.
Dates that we can
okay.
we can make this happen.
Okay, so we're promising our listening public that.
Yes, they'll have a list of the dollar oysters.
Oyster.
Also, Franklin has it at certain times as well, also, I believe. Don't forget them.
Okay.
Okay.
We will. That sounds good.
Yeah.
I would do.
This sounds like a
I fucking, this is the best idea we have had on Good Morning Gloucester in probably for a long time. For a long time. No, this is really, since probably the last, like, what was it, the pizza challenge or one of those, like, you know how
yeah,
we always do
food
the fun
challenges.
Food challenges.
Yeah.
But this is a fucking great idea. I love this idea. Okay, I'm excited. Kim, Cedar Rock Gardens opens Thursday.
Thursday.
Are you going to put a list together of those things?
So you're going to have a short, you're going to get a short link today. The post has already started. All the hundreds of plants and vegetables that they're selling this year, all the other black earth compost they're going to be selling, everything that's going to be in the garden. There's going to be doing cut your own. I mean, every year they expand their seedling and flower offer. It's just amazing. They do a beautiful job, really. Really, really. They're tops in my book.
Oh, really? That's
yeah.
your go-to?
Yeah.
Jeez,
oh,
it's
yeah.
amazing. That for you to do that,
Elisa
for you to come out and actually just point out one is saying something.
Well,
I'm going to say this because you usually don't like to offend other people.
Well, I'm not, but so I go to them.
Don't you go to Aprilia Farms? Or no?
No, because they're vegetables and things like that.
Okay.
So I go to Cedar Rock Gardens and primarily and Wolf Hill. for around here than for big things that I need to get shipped into Cambridge and stuff like that, I typically go to Northeast Nursery for them.
That's closer.
Because they deliver in Cambridge.
Okay.
So, but
yeah.
Wolf Hill does now also for me also, so. So I go to different places for different things.
Yeah.
Wolf Hill has spectacular selection of perennials. And Cedar Rock Gardens, though, is where I get all my annuals. So,
okay.
Yeah. I give them a huge plant order, and then I come and I just pick it up. And then I pick, you know, like 10 carloads, and I put it all over my yard. And then I put it in piles for different clients and things like that. And they're super, super helpful. I used to use Goose Cove Gardens, but Barbara at Goose Cove Gardens sold, abruptly left the area, went to Connecticut, but she sold a lot of her greenhouses to Elise and Tucker at Cedar Rock Gardens.
Uh-huh.
And also gave them a lot of helpful advice. She's given them a lot of helpful advice and
yeah.
information over the years.
Yeah.
So they're still, because it was really Barbara who started this whole, in this area, a whole seedlings
nursery
yeah. of locally grown flowers
yeah.
and vegetables. Yeah.
When you, okay, so check, there'll be a link in the
there'll
show notes,
link, yeah.
And you get more information about
right.
that.
That's, it's always exciting when the nurseries are opening up
yeah.
and starting
yes.
there.
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah. Seasonal.
But we do have to say, I mean, Wolf Hill is open all year round. Wolf
no,
Hill,
right. Yes.
Wolf Hill
yeah.
is a fantastic place for.
We've been there
oh, yeah.
to Wolf
yeah.
Hill. We got,
Christmas.
There was a particular sand
yeah.
that
somebody
at
was looking
home
for
it
home.
Needed.
Right.
What type of sand?
Find, what
white.
Was it?
For
white.
What?
They wanted like
for
a white sand.
For what?
White sand. They were working on a landscape item.
Okay, here's the question. So now this is a question for you. I have this fire pit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fire pit, some people see it's porcelain coated metal, and some people suggested to put sand in the bottom of it
mm-hmm.
To protect from crazing and stuff from the porcelain
oh, okay.
from cracking. And I thought to myself, if I go to get sand from the beach here, it's got salt water kind of in it.
Yeah.
It's gonna rust this thing
it's
out. It's
different.
Not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But is that like,
is
this
sand.
White sand a special sand
yeah,
that doesn't
unbleached.
Have?
They call it unbleached white sand.
And
so
has it been washed, do you think? Is that, who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
I do think
it's been
washed.
In,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
In,
yeah,
it's bagged.
Right.
And they were looking for that.
And also they're so helpful at Wolf Hill. They'll tell you what to get. You know what I mean? You just ask them what to get.
Mm.
And they'll
but we
you.
Couldn't find that white sand anywhere.
Yeah, we couldn't find, yeah.
And
in
they
New
had
York,
it there.
But we found
yeah.
it at Wolf Hill.
Wow.
Okay, back to New York.
You know, honestly, what happened was, you know, we're in New York and we, you know, he sent me out to go look for this. We couldn't find it. And when he knew I was coming up here, he said, listen, you're up there and
he's
you
getting,
see it up here,
yeah.
let me know. And
yeah.
sure enough, I saw it. I called him. I took the pictures and he said, yep, that's exactly what I'm looking for.
There you go.
And
right.
we took two or three bags down to him. So I'm thinking it was a landscape thing that he was looking for, but.
Yeah. Kim, you have a Good Harbor Beach restoration update from Phil Kukuru.
Yeah, so I was talking to Phil at Good Harbor because he was there measuring the boardwalks. So I don't know if people are aware of this, but the storm surge was so strong from the first and second nor'easters that it totally destroyed the beginning of all the boardwalks and
oh.
pushed the beginning of the boardwalks 30 feet back into the dunes and widened all the areas of the entranceway. So, and it also cut the dunes. So instead of having
made
nice,
them into bluffs instead of
right,
gradually
instead of,
sloping.
Instead of nice sloping, they're like sheer bluffs now. And so I took a picture of Phil standing at signpost number 3, and he's literally got his hand at eye level, and that's where the sand formerly came up to. So we've lost 3 to 5 feet along the beach. It's just all been pushed back into the ocean, and that's why the tide is, there's no like slope up now on Good Harbor Beach. It's flat to the bluff virtually. So that's why the tide is coming up so high. Why it's going to be hard on people, it's going to be hard on wildlife, because the beaches are narrowing from the erosion, because now they come up so high.
Oh, oh, yeah, so you have a high tide,
right.
And the high tide will come,
yeah.
where there was that slope from the hard sand
yeah.
to the soft sand,
mm-hmm.
was probably,
yeah.
I don't
right.
know, 40 yards, I don't know what it was.
I don't know what it was.
But,
right.
but now,
right.
now it kind of goes way up.
Right, goes
wow.
right up. And so the big rock that's there at Good Harbor Beach, you know, it got uncovered like 5 years ago, so you could see like this much of it. I'm showing like 6 to 8 inches of the big rock, the top of the big rock. Now you see like three.
Wait, are you talking about the rock down by the footbridge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I have an image of that rock clearly out of back when I
yes.
saw that coyote there.
It was exposed
pretty well.
So recently it's been about 6 inches. I have a picture of it too, just from last summer, and
yeah.
you can see like 6 inches of it. Now it's like 4 feet high. The rock
yeah.
is like 4 feet
yeah.
high. So anyway, so Phil. They're measuring the dunes. What happens next is they have to be in the schools, because during school vacation week, the DPW wants to work on the school buildings and the school grounds.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
And so then after the school vacation week, they'll be down at Good Harbor. They've been measuring to do all the restoration. The footbridge will hopefully be fixed by Memorial Day weekend. And then and there was one other thing that they're doing down there, and I forget what it was. But it'll be in my post tonight. But anyways, it's
are
really
they rebuilding the boardwalks, or
yes,
or the
yes, yes. So they are rebuilding them. That's what they were measuring for.
Mm-hmm.
They have to. And what's really sad is they had just rebuilt number two entirely, from end to
mm-hmm,
end, to make
mm-hmm.
it a handicap accessible. Oh, the other big news there. This thank you, is so the so a lot of people have been questioning whether we care about plovers because we let our dune fencing look so bad. And that it's really conflating the two things, I think. Just because we haven't been able to fix the dune fencing doesn't mean we don't care about the plovers. So, but there have been plans in place since last winter to fix the dune fencing this year.
Okay.
So that is another big issue. The dune fencing, you could only see the top 3 inches of the dune fencing post. Now the whole post is exposed. We lost so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then the,
wow.
So that all that was buried. All that muck was buried, the rotting fence and everything. And the dune fencing really, really, really helps protect the dune. It not only helps to build up, to build the sand back up to create a gradual slope, but when it's obviously fenced, it keeps people and dogs out.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, everybody's just, particularly dogs, just running wild for the people just let their dogs run wild. I was walking onto the beach, and there was a woman ahead of me, and she was letting her dog run willy-nilly. And there, so I said to her, "Oh, are you aware that there's no dogs allowed in the dunes?" And we're passing a giant sign that says, "Dunes are fragile. Keep out." And she said, "No, I had no idea." It's just like people.
You know, I wonder sometimes when it's things like that.
Yeah.
I wonder if they actually know what a dune means.
Yeah. Oh well, good point. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Like.
I could almost see that they have something pictured in their head.
Right.
Like.
Right.
Like that gradual sloping
right.
thing, and
if
you're
just
not
say,
seeing that,
right. just make the maybe the sign should sign should say stay on the boardwalk. Keep
that might be something like that.
Right, that's better.
Keep it plain.
Yeah that's
plain
better.
And simple.
Yeah.
Are you finding a picture there?
Yeah, I was just looking for that rock right there.
Yeah.
Is this the rock you're talking
oh,
about?
Oh, no, not that rock.
But
not
no.
that rock.
Oh, okay.
The rock that's down closer to three.
Oh, okay. I don't even know about that rock, so they
yeah.
are sure.
Yeah, that rock is, it's a huge rock. People like to play on it. Dogs like to pee on it. And it's ironic. Every dog that comes on the beach wants to go pee on it, and then every child that's on the beach wants to climb on it. Is climbing on it. I'm like, oh, there's a lot of reasons why dogs should be off the beach beginning April.
We should mention your friend David Robertson, owner of Windermere Art and Antiques in Rockport,
and that's a beautiful shop.
Entered the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Saturday night.
Yes. Yep. And I put up a whole bunch of clips from the. From the evening's program, but you can watch the whole show on HBO May 5th. So,
oh, cool!
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
that's a huge
honor.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a
huge
honor.
It's like bigger. It's kind of bigger than like an Oscar,
right?
Because it's like you get. So
there's only a handful.
Right, and people,
right.
you get sort of like nominated, and then people have to vote for you like tirelessly, because you might be nominated and then be on the list for like 11 years.
It's
or
like
something
the, it's
like
the
that.
Baseball or football
yes,
Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
you know, it's if you make it in there,
yeah.
you are
right.
the top 0.00001%.
There's like 15 car songs that are so popular still to this day. That
I'll never forget that album. That when I went to Naples, Florida, when I was 11 or 12 years old, that I was just in on and just played it over and over and over again.
like all kids do. I mean, I still do that with favorite music, play it over and over again.
Yeah, but that was one of, you know, the, when you, some of the ones that you first, there was like a Doors album.
When you get, when you're at that age where you get so into the music and you, you're
it
just
becomes
trying
so
to
much
absorb
part of
it.
It becomes part of your identity.
Yeah, Doors, the Kinks. And okay, the piping, the Plovers are back.
Mm-hmm.
And
they arrived April 3rd.
There, and just, I'm going to have you speak about this, but I just want to mention in the show notes, there is a an email address to contact Ken Whitaker if you would like to be a piping Plover monitor volunteer.
Right, that's really important.
And want to explain what that would entail?
So from sunrise to sunset, the shifts are about an hour to 2 hours, whatever people can give. And Ken has a master list that he is creating of times when people can cover the plovers. So I think we should have a plover monitor this coming weekend, because weekends are bad while the dogs are still off leash. And then, once the plovers actually make a viable nest and we see an egg, then the exclosure goes over that. And the exclosure is a 6-inch round diameter structure that keeps the eggs from being stepped on by people and
or
dogs.
Or eaten
by birds.
Or coyotes.
Right.
Or snowy owls.
Or snowy owls. Or great horned owls. And then everything's relatively safe for,
But the opening where they come in and out of there, that's where the danger lies.
Well, so when what's happening, for example, on Cranes Beach is when the owls got, and other predatory birds got so comfortable with the exclosures, they started to perch on the edge of the exclosure and eat the adults as they came in and out, let alone the baby chicks. So they had to stop using those exclosures at Cranes. They haven't had to stop them here because our owls haven't caught on yet. So, but once the exclosure goes up, it's kind of, things are kind of relatively safe for about, 28 days. Then once the chicks hatch is when monitors are needed 24,
can I ask you a question?
12 hours a day, yes.
When was the, so this is, seems like it's early.
This is early.
Okay,
yeah.
Did you look back in your notes?
Yes.
And when were the first ones last year?
End of April.
End of April.
Right, and this is the very first week in April. But this is, I think as, more and more barrier beaches are in trouble, this is going to be happening. So earlier and earlier.
So for my purposes, have other migrations been a little bit ahead of schedule this year or no?
No, I haven't noticed that.
No,
nope,
just this plover thing.
But also, so what's so unique about plovers, for example, is that so many of the migratory species of birds that we see are just, we're just a stopover. They're going on to the shorebirds I'm talking about, they're going on to the Arctic tundra. This is like such a gift that we get to see the whole from courtship to eggs to chicks unfold right in our midst. It's really amazing. So just like the monarchs, we're part of the plover's northern breeding grounds. So it's not entirely surprising to me, because I know that they were seen a couple of weeks ago at Revere Beach and Winthrop Beach.
Oh.
And so that's, once I learned about that, then I started checking our beach. So about in the middle of March, I started checking Good Harbor Beach and also Winkersheek Beach too. I haven't seen any activity over there on Winkersheek yet, but
I'm wondering if the lobsters are going to come early. That's all I'm thinking of.
Yeah, well, it's interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of correlation.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're having a cold, one of the coldest Aprils on record, so I don't know if that's affecting things at all. I don't know.
It usually makes things slower for lobsters.
It's,
I wonder what the water temperature is.
I did know a couple of days it was in the 40s, I thought.
Yeah.
Like 43. But when we, I'm trying to draw a correlation. I don't know if it's, I haven't seen it enough to know for sure, but when we have a very cold spring, we often don't have as many butterflies as usual. So it could be, you know, I don't know, butterflies and lobsters.
Yeah, well, you don't know. Earth Day cleanup Saturday, April 21st at 9 a.m.
Yes.
If you click on the link, it'll take you to their Facebook page, which has all the list of locations and all the information that you could possibly need.
And you just show up to the location that you know, that like St. Peter's Square or Good Harbor or whatever, you just show up. And
yeah,
then there's a barbecue afterwards.
Yeah.
At One Ocean, One Love. I believe that starts at 11. And so everybody who participates in the cleanup is invited to that. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Let me see if we're missing anything.
Hey, I want to do a shout out to our the Cape Ann handywoman and our good friend Bex.
Bex, shout out to Bex.
She helped us with
moving us
in.
Out. Yep.
Here I come in with my U-Hauler truck from New York and stuff, and bringing in and get it all in the garage, and we're all set. And Bex came out and helped us move from the garage right to our apartment.
Oh,
and
right.
It took some stairs and steps, and she was great. She came right out, and she is really a good person to. She's just not for moving, folks.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, she looks around, and she was looking at the handiwork that some of the guys did.
Yeah, I just contacted her, wondering if she knew anybody that might be, you know, that I could contact to help us out. And she showed up, which was wonderful.
Oh, wow.
It was wonderful to see her. But yes, to your point that it's not just building and repairing necessarily.
No, she, yeah.
It could be other things as well.
And it's funny because she would look in the apartment and she would say, oh, I would do it this way and I would do it that way. And it was just funny to hear that she's got the eye.
So thanks, Bex.
Thanks, Bex.
Thanks to Bex. There you go. Let's see if there's anything else. No, I think we're good right there. That's Gloucester Cast 274. It's in the books. Thanks for coming, guys.
Yeah, yeah.